Go with us to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We started a message last week, when God balances the books. And we're going to look at this as we look at the theme of 2 Thessalonians is a church alive. And what you'll not see in the book of Thessalonians is God talking about budgets and buildings and peoples and programs, but he talks about the church growing spiritually. There's a saying among preachers, I've never used it with you before, that too many preachers look at nickels and noses rather than people, right? Y'all get what I'm saying? All right, y'all gonna have to liven up. Kenny, did you bring that little thing with you I told you to bring? Nickels and noses, right? We're all worried about how many we got or how much money they give. We ain't worried about their spirituality, right? And that's what the book of Thessalonians is about, 2 Thessalonians. Now, let me give you an introduction from last week. Last week we looked at two things God is going to do on Judgment Day. He's going to give relief to those who love him. This church at Thessalonica was undergoing great persecution. And how long, O Lord, you know, the saints asked through the years, how long, O Lord, we got to put up with this, right? And we asked that question. But he's coming one day, and the rapture for his church, 7 years of tribulation for those Christ rejectors in Israel who crucified him. And then also he's coming back again in what's called the second coming. And this is what the text talks about, his second coming at the end of the tribulation period when he comes to reign and to judge. So we saw last week he's going to bring relief to those who love him. Number one, relief from our enemies, relief, rest from our sorrows, and rewards for our faith. Now today we're going to pick up in verse 6, we're going to look at, he's also going to bring retribution, we could say recompense, or judgment, for those who don't love him. And he's coming to judge one day. He's going to balance the books. Right now they think they're getting away with it, and it may seem like they are, but one day he's going to come and call everybody to account, and it's going to be all over with. Look in verse 6. He says, seeing it is a righteous thing that God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Look in verse 8 and 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now, this won't preach in Joel Osteen's church, okay? I'll just go ahead and tell you. Most of the churches today, that text will not be preached. He's coming in flaming fire on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Heavenly Father, I pray as we open this text, you open our hearts. Help us, number one, to be mindful of the lost people, that they need to hear the gospel. And it is the church that's been entrusted with the gospel to share the gospel with them. Help us to understand, Father, they are not our enemies. Our enemies are those agents, demons, and Satan behind them that are working to pervert and to hinder the work of God and keep people lost. Those are our enemies. And Father, today we pray as we look at this, as the one here without Christ, help them realize it's going to be better to come to Christ now, come to Jesus now, receive the payment on the cross that he made for us, rather than paying for their own sin one day in eternal hell. So speak to us today from your word, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Verse 6, there's coming day of judgment when God will call the world to accountability. Right now, they think they got it made. They're working their plan of humanism, secular humanism, without God. They're trying to get rid of God out of every aspect of society and don't mention him. They want to keep us locked in the church with our religion. And even many of us play on Facebook that is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Word of God, and they hate the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand today that one day God's going to settle accounts. He's going to balance the books. And I want to share with you three aspects of this judgment that's coming. Number one, it's just. It's fearful. And number two, it's final. Number three, it's final. Sound like a man with Alzheimer's, right? I said I want to share with you three things and I forgot the third, right? But anyway, it is just, it is fearful, and it's final. Look in verse 6. We'll see God's judgment is just. Seeing it as a righteous thing, for God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Both heaven and hell are wrapped up in the justice of God. I saw something the other day from one of my cousins, and he's not watching this because he's about as far away from God as you can get. And somebody had put on Facebook, "What did your father teach you when you were younger?" And most of them were affirming, but his post was that his daddy taught him that the blood of Jesus will cause us to escape hell, that the earth is a young earth created 6,000 years, by the way, which I believe, and he said what really happened was Satan went back in a time warp and planted all the archaeological evidence that proves the Bible is true. Satan planted it. Now, I want to ask you a question. Which is harder to believe? Satan went back in time and planted archaeological evidence, or that Christ died on the cross for our sins, right? He's an absolute moron, right? And then he says, "Today, I am a happy atheist." I tell you what, my heart just dropped. Folks, one day he's going to find out that he's wrong. God's judgment is just. So that's the question, isn't it, church? How can a just God reward one person and judge another? The answer is found in the person and work of Christ. Y'all know how it happened. God did not set aside his justice to pardon sinners. He's still just. But God, through the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross, God provided a way to show mercy without doing away with his justice. He took our sin on the cross so that the just can justify the unjust, right? Christ took our sin and wrath intended for the sinner. And those who accept the offer of salvation receive forgiveness in heaven. And those who reject God's offer receive eternal punishment in hell. God is just, folks. Amen. You agree with that? He is just to punish the sinner because why? We all were bound for an eternal hell without Christ. And God put his son on the cross to die in our place and take the wrath that was intended for you and I that we might have left. Tell me what is unjust about that, right? And the justifier of many, right? God is a just. He is just to send, allow people to go to hell because they make their own choice. He's given them the Christ on the cross, who they reject. By the way, if you're in a church that doesn't preach Christ crucified, then you need to get out of that church and find you another one. Amen? So God's judgment is just. I'm not going to keep you too long. Elizabeth Taylor, that's what she told her 8th husband, right? I'm not going to keep you too long. God's judgment is just. If anybody ever tells you this and says, "Well, I don't believe there's truth," and you say, "Well, is what you just said true?" What are they going to say then? They just got through saying there's no truth. There's no heaven, there's no hell, right? Folks, I'm telling you, it burns my heart today at the corruptness in our America that is beloved. And even in the church, ordaining women. American Baptist Church, it was in Ohio that brought on a transgender pastor. I guess they thought maybe one day that she'd go to the hospital, she can visit a woman, and then she can go visit a man. I don't know what they thought. But folks, the church ain't no better than many in the world today, right? It is apostatized right before we squeeze look. Critical race theory and wokeness has invaded the upper levels of some of our denominations. Man, it's so sad, so sad. But God's judgment, number two, is fearful. Look in verses 8 and 9, if you will. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction," eternal ruin, not annihilation. There's no such thing as annihilation. "Eternal ruin from the presence of God," the presence of the Lord, "from the glory of his power." Here Paul uses vivid language to describe God's judgment. Tribulation, flaming fire, vengeance, punishment, and destruction. And right now in America, while it may appear that the books are unbalanced toward injustice and unrighteousness, God is going to have the last word. He's going to have the last say. He will balance the books. He will settle the accounts. And they'll look before him in judgment, the one that they denied even existing. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Right? God's vengeance does not flow from his desire. Does not flow from his desire to avenge like ours. Our vengeance means we want some blood. We want somebody to pay. We want to do it because we want to see them suffer. We want to do it because we want vengeance. But that's not the way it is with God's vengeance. His vengeance is just. It rather flows from his heart desire for justice. Do we love the word of God so much that we really, it irks us when people pervert it, right? This is why I'm against the false teachers today. Not because I want to see them in hell. It's because they're perverting God's word. And there are some things we ought to get excited about. There are some things we ought to get upset about. There are some things we ought to get mad about today. Amen? It ought to make us mad what they're doing. But we don't judge them. God's vengeance out of a heart of love does it. Morris says this, God in his vengeance is doing what is right. God does not take delight in the death of the wicked, but he will hold those accountable who do not honor him, his word, or his son. And the Bible says it comes in flaming fire. This speaks of God's full punishment at his second coming to those who do not obey the gospel. We see it used in Revelation 19, 11, and 12, the second coming. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful and true. In his righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns. And he has a name written that no man knew but he himself. He comes in flaming fire one day, and he's going to come judge, and he's going to set up his kingdom, millennial kingdom, and it's going to be 1,000 years of bliss, but not yet heaven. Heaven is the new Jerusalem in Revelation 21 and 22, in flaming fire. You say, Brother Ken, well, I've been here 19 years. This is no first sermon for you. You know I preach this, right? Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, okay, we're going to have to pay. Amy, we're going to have to pay them to say amen, all right? But you're not, in many churches today, you're not going to have, preacher, a deacon to get you after the service, said preacher. In fact, I talked to a guy the other day who was going to preach at a church here in South Georgia. Before he even went in the door, the deacon got him outside. Well, don't preach too long. We want you done by 12 o'clock. I got news for you. That deacon was probably done by 11:30, right? And they say, don't preach like that again, preacher, or you'll run them off. Well, how far can you take a person who's already on his way from hell? I mean, you're either dead in your trespasses and sins, and you're separated from God, and you're on the way to hell. How much more separated can you be, right? And they need to, folks, the church needs to speak up. We don't need to take this anymore, right? Do it in a loving way, but let them know this is a lie from Satan. This is not true, right? And we're going to talk more about that sometime in the future. So God's judgment is just. God's judgment is fearful. I know what you're thinking right now. Let me stop. You're saying, Brother Ken, there's something wrong with him. His sugar's up or something or other. Now, that happens a lot of mornings, right? But not today. I have a righteous anger for the truth, right? And when it's violated. God's judgment is just. God's judgment is fearful. But God's judgment is final. Look in verse 9. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Paul reveals in verse 9 the ultimate fate of every person who does not know God in a saving way, who does not repent of their sins and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can just read that, verse 9, and you can just sense and hear the finality of these words, right? Look at it again. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. John Phillips in his commentary says, the wicked at the Lord's return will be handed over to eternal ruin. The gnawing of conscience, the torments of memory, the anguish of guilt, the terrible knowledge that their doom is deserved, hopeless and unending. And this place is called hell. See, when people go to hell, they realize that they rejected the one who they tried to put under the covers and silence. And they will realize at that point that their judgment is hell. The man in Luke 16 realized that. He realized he's here in hell because of his own rejection of Christ, right? And they'll realize that. It's a place of eternal fire, eternal punishment, eternal darkness, eternal pain, eternal separation. In fact, you know what makes hell hell? The total absence of God's presence is what makes hell hell. Not only everlasting, they'll be in a body fit for, at the great white throne, they'll be in a body fit for eternal destruction. They'll burn and burn and burn and never be consumed. And we'll be in a glorified body that will be able to live forever in heaven. And they'll have a body that's fit for total eternal ruin forever and forever. And this place is a bad place. Say it with me, like the bad preacher. This place is called hell, right? And we ought to be concerned about people who go there, right? Or are we so refined in our little pews and our air conditioners and all of our things we got, and it's us and no more, and we don't worry about them, right? We don't worry about them. But I got news for you. Y'all come up close. You close? Somebody told you about heaven and hell, right? And told you about the gospel. There's nothing more important than to tell others how to go to heaven and how to escape hell. In Acts chapter 17, there's a verse. I read it this week. It just, In Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, Luke, who wrote Acts, says this, "And the times of the ignorance of God, God winked at, but now commanded every man, all men everywhere, to repent, because he hath appointed a day," and that's the day we're talking about, "in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead." You see, that's an amazing verse. Not only are we judged by Jesus, but we are judged by the righteous standard of his Son. People say, "Well, I'm as good as the next person. You know, I'm not going down to the church where the hypocrites are. I'm just as good as anybody else." But the problem is, you're not being judged by us, our standard. You're being judged by the standard of his Son, right? And we all fall so short outside of Christ. So I got news for my cousin. One day he's going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And he's going to realize that his daddy tried to teach him the truth, right? And he decided he's going to be a tree hugger rather than a follower of Christ. Right? There's more to that story, but I don't want to go into it. I get really mad. Okay? There's going to come a day they're going to wish they had a tree to hug, right? When that comes. The blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we're judged. Does that show light on this, that you can't use that excuse, "I'm just as good as the person sitting next to me"? Because guess what? We all deserve hell, right? It's by God's mercy that he saved any of us, right? If he only saved Ken Burgess, he would still be just, right? If he only saved you, he would still be just. But we're not judged by people sitting in a pew with us. We're judged by the standard and the stature of Christ. And the only way we're going to come up to that is to repent of our sins and believe in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Amen? The Word of God lays before us life and death. That's it. The choice is plain. You can go to heaven, you can go to hell. But you must do something with Jesus, right? We're going to have, during our invitation time, after I pray, Margene's going to come up. Margene's going to sing. And Margene, you just come on, make your way up. And then Marcus is going to come and lead us in one stanza, Wasser in der Rohe. Margene has a song that she believes goes with this message today. So, Father, I pray today as Margene comes and sings, Lord, bless her. Open our hearts. open our hearts to I surrender all. We might be here today and we say, yeah, I have surrendered, but have we surrendered all the time to Christ? Or do we just serve Christ when it's convenient? Do we just serve Christ when we can't go nowhere else? Is he our life? Has he consumed us? Have we embraced the gospel? Are we followers of Christ? That's the question. Help us not to be hypocrites when we sing, I surrender all. Father, I pray that you'll save, you'll sanctify, and you'll equip your church for these last days. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.